Okay, brothers, let's finish this last hour. When we talk about rebuilding the church life in Northern Cal, we're really talking about building. Building. How to build up a local church. It is a big subject, and it is something that eludes a lot of the leading brothers. Actually, many brothers don't know how to build up a local church. They know how to maintain schedules and keep the hall clean and get some saints occupied to carry out this or that. And, all those things are not unimportant, but they're not the critical things. The church has an outward frame, and the outward frame are all these things, all these physical things in the physical material realm, which we need to take care of. They are the affairs of the church, so that we can go on just like your body. You need to take care of your body so that you can exist inside it. But the real church is not that. The real church is in the divine and mystical realm. It is in the realm of God. It is in the realm of resurrection, life. It is in a divine realm. And most people don't see that realm, or they. It is a realm in the spirit, in our spirit. So only the spiritual eyes can see, only the spiritual being can experience things in this realm. And that's actually where the church is, the real church, or the real body of Christ, and the real testimony of Jesus is. And so our work to build up the church cannot just be setting up systems so the church can run, you know, or just make up schedules so that we can gather and do things. The real work in building up the church is in building up the saints, the persons, the members, the believers who are branches of this vine. That's why it is very, very disappointing to see some elders and so on spending all their time on the outward things, busying themselves very faithfully. I'm thankful for that, very faithfully, in the outward things, when actually you have neglected to build the church in its reality. So your church may be quite okay, everything is fine, but is it really, how are the saints' lives? What about their experience of Christ? What about their walk, daily walk? What about their testimony? How about their growth in life? How about their spiritual service? Not just cleaning the hall, doing this. Their spiritual, priestly service in a way to worship God. And so on and so forth. So if you look at things in this light, not many churches are actually not built up. It's structured. But there's really not this organic, what we call the organic building up of the church. And I say again, that building up is about people, about persons, and about their inner spiritual condition of those people, from whom all our life and our work comes. And so we have to build up the church, the local church, must dedicate our attention to that, to work on people, to edify, to make spiritual, if you know what I mean by that, to help people, the saints, the believers, to have a life with the Lord, to know the Lord, to touch the Lord, to have all these dealings with the Lord, to grow in the Lord, to serve in the Lord, and all these things. Brother Lee said, well, let the grass grow a little bit longer. You just go hire someone to mow it. You spend the time to visit people, to contact people. That's to build up the church. So I want to make this point. So actually, this training, this family training, is now a kind of a tool for us, or a kind of a means for us that we can utilize or leverage to accomplish some further building. So this is why I say it's not just giving a message or, you know, just having a training meeting in your locality. I like to know the effect of that. Did the lives of the saints change? Is there revival after we talk about it? How are they doing? Did they advance in their touch with the Lord, in their walk? So I must repeat this again and again. Otherwise, we are busy. We may not be doing the right thing. Now, let's come back to this training. So this training is more than a meeting. That is just a meeting. Those 45 minutes on Lord's Day is just a meeting. This training, in order for it to be a true useful one, must become actually 24/7. It actually must become our church life. Now, I'm not saying that we should now stop everything that we're doing in our churches, you know, stop reading the life studies, and don't use the morning holy word for morning revival. And I didn't say that. A lot of things we have to carry on. These are the things we do in the church. Or stop the young people's work, or stop the campus work. No, no, no. We are proceeding. We must go on. But what I am saying is that we're introducing this thing, called this training, on some of these most critical matters related to a proper church life, which is in that realm. Now, later on in some lessons down the road, there's some, we'll talk about church meetings and this and that. We will even touch the Lord's table. I think there's a whole module, am I right? On the Lord's table or something. But even with that, I will tell you, I'm very burdened about the Lord's table. In fact, I just wrote another song on the Lord's table. I'm very burdened for it, and we need to be further recovered in this great matter. Now, I know Brother Lee famously said, in the New Jerusalem, there will be no Lord's table. I know that, so that's not eternal, okay? But I know in the kingdom there will be, because we're going to feast with him again. But still, even with this matter, we need to rescue it from formality into spirituality. See? So many things in our church life, we need to lift them up from just some mere common practice or whatever we do, and imbue them, suffuse them with the Spirit, with God himself. Only that is the real thing, the real testimony. So I want to brothers heading into this training to not think so much about that meeting. It's important, I'll say something about it, or that class, whatever you want to call it. I want you to think about people. Go into this training with a thought about the saints. Don't think about the lesson, the message. You know, you need to do that. But think about the saints. Just think about the saints. And when you think that way, I would believe the first thing you will do is to pray. Is to pray. Not just to pray for a successful training. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying praying for the saints, the believers. To what? To grow and advance as a result of this training into vital living, true vital living members in the church life. And that's a lot of work. So let's use this. Now, we have a thought that we will cover these lessons in 18 months. So 36 lessons in 18 months in some fashion. We're going to go month by month, and we're going to have meetings like this, and there'll be further instructions. But that means roughly 2 lessons per month, right? That's 36, yeah? So roughly, on average, whether it's 2 or 3 or 4, we'll see. I look to the Lord that in 18 months, something, maybe not outwardly so splashy, but something inwardly will have changed in the churches. And with a church life that is built up, not only the Lord's testimony will increase in its weight, in its power, in its impact, but also that now we will have a more solid vessel to contain the Lord's further blessing. I tell you today, regardless of what, there's still a lot of seekers out there who are wandering, looking for that. But sorry, even when they come to our midst, they don't find it. They may not find it because our condition is not up to standard. The second thing I have said already, as emphasis, the first one is person, am I right? The second is practice. Practice. Not just retention of knowledge and not just dissemination of knowledge or information. That's not the main point of this training. It is the spiritual practices, right? Or practices in the spiritual life of the saints that we want to build up. So that's what they call a metric. That's a measurement. We don't have, even at the back of these kind of outline, we don't have questions like the elders' Sarat training. We have practice points. And you may be free. You don't need to follow this. You can make up your own practice points. But the emphasis is practice. All right? The third thing. So you get that, right? And I'm going to say something based on that. And the third thing is personal. Don't trust just some kind of general good feeling or good reaction from this training. Go get personal. First of all, be personal with yourself, and also be personal with the saints, in that we want to every saint as much as possible. Of course, it won't be perfect, but as much as possible, saint by saint, would be impacted by this training, would experience life changes by this training. And that's a lot of work. And the fourth thing, and I'm going to start with these four things. The fourth thing is be specific. Okay, maybe I could use particular because I want four P's, right? So number one is what? No.
Huh?
Is people. Number two is practice. Number three is personal. Number four is particular. That means, brothers, you know, to get something done, something, a project, you have to basically put blinders on and focus and execute. All right? That's how you do a good project. Yes, our oversight has to be general. We have to watch over the flock. We have to take care of so many things. But when it comes to these kind of things, in making definite advance in a local church, you've got to be specific. That means don't cover so many things at once. And this is an instruction from Brother Lee, and you can find that in that book, The Practice of the Church Life According to the God-Ordained Way. He said, don't try to do everything. Do one thing at a time. Until that one thing is built up, you move on to the next thing. And I have not seen that since Eldon days myself. We, through those, what we used to call New Believers Meeting, brought the church, like the nation of Israel, from Egypt, through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, and into the outer court, into the holy place, into the holiest of all, phase by phase. I'm a direct beneficiary of that. You don't know, I mentioned the anointing as a illustration. We spent weeks and months just on the dealing with the world. The dealing was so thorough that eventually it resulted us in the saints going to the beach to have burnings. You know, you have probably never heard, we brought our stuff to the public beach and burn them. I cannot tell you how many TVs are smashed, how many treasure things are dumped into the fire. And none of that is because someone told us to do that. The dealing, the corporate collective dealing of the church was so thorough, and it encompasses so many saints, not a few. So the whole church as a people, we crossed that Red Sea together. I still remember our main theme song is Far, Far Behind Me. You know, in dealing with the world. You know that song? Far, far, yeah, that one. I crossed the separating line and left the world behind. I mean, that was a sort of a theme song, and collectively as a people, we crossed the Red Sea in leaving the world behind. And that has phenomenal results, and that is the church life is just in a state of revival. How can you not, when there's such abandonment? How can the Spirit not honor that kind of paying of the price? Brothers, that's what we should have. That's what we should have. It's not just the check signed or, please, brothers, just take care of it in 5 minutes. Spend the time on the spiritual things. Amen. Build yourself up and then build up the saints. Amen. And be specific for reality. That's why this time we're going to get through in this matter of being personally vitalized. Amen. And if it takes another month, we'll take another month. Amen. We're not here to serve these lessons. These lessons are here to serve us.
Amen.
And the same thing even with you, brothers. You yourself, the reason you're not growing so much is because you're not specific with the Lord. You're too general. This and that and this and that. You know, even today, there's so much riches from the feasts and trainings. It almost causes us all become generalist. Because one thing has come and then another burden. And all these are huge, big crystals and burdens. You almost have no time to just stop. I need to deal with this first and get through with it before I get into the next thing. That's a bit of a shortage of the present situation. But it is, be that as it may, brothers, you yourself learn. You know, you don't learn a lesson in 1 week. I'm talking about spiritual lessons. You spend weeks or months to learn a particular lesson. And if you don't spend that kind of time, that lesson may be a little bit learned, but not well learned, not thoroughly learned. So you end up a person that is, you learn a little bit of everything, but nothing is thorough with you. And so your spiritual usefulness is limited to just to the level of what you have learned. And in the longest time, you become a superficial person.
Amen.
A superficial Christian. Brothers, I will tell you, we need to change culture in our church life. Not just adjust a little few things here and there. I talk about tightening screws. No, we need another engine, you know. Not another engine. We need to overhaul this engine. Strip it all down and rebuild it almost like a new engine. It looks the same, but it's not the same. Are you open to this, brothers?
Amen.
And I think this is a great time for the younger brothers to step in at this moment in time to engage in this building. You will learn a lot for the future in how to take care of the churches and build them up. You know, last year we were on calling on the Lord. Did we get through in that? I don't think so. To some degree, I don't think so. I spoke a lot about the advance calling and the advance prayer reading. You remember that? Not just the same old calling, you know. But no. Now it's over. Now it's over. Now we move on to something else. You see, I rather become an expert caller. And I don't know that many things, but when it comes to calling, I am an expert. That means depth and not just breadth. And that calling will save a lot of people.
Amen.
And it will save myself.
Amen.
In fact, I will tell you, all our spiritual Christian experiences has to do with calling on the Lord. And if you don't get through in that, you don't learn that, all it will affect all your other spiritual experiences. The same thing with prayer reading. How can you not pray, read the word? Okay. But let's go on now. I'm going to talk about two things and I'm going to be done. One is has to do with the preparing for this lesson. And the second is how to follow up with this lesson. Right? Okay. The first thing is in preparing for the presentation of such a lesson or in that meeting. Right, this training meeting. I mentioned already that this meeting should be up to an hour if you have the time. If not, 15 minutes or 45 minutes. You can do a lot if you are prepared. And if the saints' spirits are there. Today, any class in school is about standard 50 minutes in school. So speaking itself, I would say, if you can use 30 minutes, you can cover a lot, if you are prepared. 30 minutes, you can cover a lot, either by one brother or by two brothers. And in some places where there are no brothers, I think in a cluster way, you should help each other. And typically we agree it would be the third session. Third session? Okay. Which means, let me say also, as a sidebar, actually as a huge big sidebar, and that is, brothers, I hope even through this change in our Lord's Day morning schedule, we will even revive our meeting life on Lord's Day morning.
Amen.
Help the saints to respect the Lord's Day.
Amen.
It's not called the Lord's Day for no reason. It's the day of the Lord.
Amen.
It is his resurrection day. That day should be sanctified, and we should prepare ourselves, even on Saturday, for the Lord's Day. Help the saints. Tell them to get things ready the night before and not get in a rush that morning. Help them to go to bed earlier Saturday night so that they won't get up late. If we respect and honor that day, help them to come to the meeting early, even those with kids, even those with children. Don't aim to be in the meeting at 10. Aim to arrive at 10 before 10. For some of us, 15 before 10. For some of us, 30 minutes before 10. That's not just for elders to come and pray and get ready for announcement. It's for all the saints. Because when you come early, you can meet some other saints. You can greet other saints. You can fellowship. And that is a great time to shepherd one another. And come with an exercise spirit, with singing in your car. Am I right? With prayer. Don't just come in your mind and just plop yourself down in the third row. No, no, no. We need, actually, when we get to here, we need a cultural change in the way we meet. We are degraded, brothers. Come late, leave early has become our culture. It used to be come early and leave late. That was our culture. And I'd like to recover that.
Amen.
What's an extra half an hour on Lord's Day? It won't kill you, but it will benefit the church so, so much.
Amen.
Okay, so start the Lord's table on time and before. You don't need to wait till 10 to start the Lord's table, right? You have a few people you can already start. There's no program here. You're here to remember the Lord. Just start praising, exercising. Am I right? Singing. And warm up this atmosphere. And if you do this, and if we don't do a sing-along, if we would just rely not on the hymnal, but rely on our spirit of praise, there will be no gaps. There will be no silence. Long silences. There'll be a lot of, I tell you, in 30 minutes, we will have so much praise. Then when we drag it out to an hour, there's really not that much praise. And it's very, very deadening and also very, very discouraging in some of those kind of meetings. You can easily, if you do this, break bread by 10:15 without hurrying. Without hurrying. Or 10:20. Because we want to now recover also a good deal of time to worship the Father.
Amen.
We have shortchanged our dear Father in the time we spend after the Lord's table. Right? But still, whatever it is, I think in 40 minutes, 35, 40 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes, we can have a grand Lord's table.
Amen.
If we are all there. If we are in the Spirit, if we are praising, it's not how long, it's how intense We will hit the peak. We will hit the crescendo. We'll break the bread. And so on and so forth. I tell you, a recovered Lord's table will mean a lot to a proper church life. Okay, all right. Then you will have a next segment of overflow or prophesying time from the Holy Word, from something that you read, from whatever it may be. I tell you, to give it about 40 minutes time is a lot of time if everyone is prepared. If it's not, it's a drag. And everyone's looking at their watch. But when it flows, you find what? You find you run out of time. Last week, I was, rare moment, I went to my own meeting in Irvine. You know. Oh, I was quite happy. When you find that you're running out of time, that's a good situation. And not just kind of, how long, oh Lord, right? When we would get out of here, you know. It's my kids crying, you know. So brothers, we need a cultural change. We're wrong. We're just not in a good place. There's much room for recovery. Okay, so then you can have the last 40 minutes, 45 minutes to cover this lesson. And so what if the meeting does not end at 12? I sometimes see some saints, their face drop when the meeting does not end at 12. Like, I will never come back again. You know. What? There's something very wrong with our attitude, with the way we value the church life. I mean, not only 10 minutes, sometimes even 15, you will not complain, you will not get antsy, but you would, after that, stay, hang around to fellowship with the saints, to take care of the saints, find someone you ordinarily you don't talk to see how they're doing. You see, all this built warmth in the church. I'm not saying this is not done. I'm just saying, in many cases, I don't see this. All right, so there's ample time in 40 minutes or 45 minutes or so to cover this lesson. You just need to sing a short song. A short song is good. Or not. It's up to you. And then, you know, the meeting turns to this lesson time. And then I am not sure you need to read the verses. You may want to read a verse or two, but you can get into the sharing for 30 minutes or so. And then afterwards, it's always good to have some response time or sharing time, or sometimes even some Q&A time. It depends on the setting and how many people are there. So you need to do things to make that class, you shouldn't call it a class, I don't know what you call it, to make that time interesting, attractive, meaningful. You know, when people come and gain something, they'll come back. If they come, they get nothing, they will not come back. So it's our job to make that interesting and meaningful and rewarding for all those who come. All right? So now, in the now I come to the speaking, right? The speaking. Brothers, the first thing, of course, is you need to prepare. You need to prepare. You need to spend the week before whatever you're going to cover to prepare. This really means the first thing is prayer. You're in your car, going to work, coming home. Don't watch the billboard. Don't get into a road rage. And, you know, I have always lived in either Huntington Beach or Irvine, both of which are 30 minutes to Anaheim. and since Brother Lee's days in the 70s until he died and until now, I am at a disadvantage compared to brothers who live in Anaheim because I need to drive 30 minutes one way and 30 minutes back. I have a lot more wear and tear on my car. I have spent a lot more dollars on gas. And if you put them together, it's thousands of miles over these decades. And so I start to complain to the Lord, Lord, I'm getting old. So unless I get a chauffeur or whatever it is, I cannot do this anymore. In fact, I said, Lord, this is highly unfair. You know what the Lord told me? Well, maybe not the Lord, but you know what occurred to me? I said, the word is, you're blessed. You got an extra hour in that car to pray.
Amen.
Now that is a blessing, eternal blessing. I might have spent, dole out thousands of dollars on gas, but in return, I got eternal reward.
Amen.
Of more times in the holiest of all.
Amen.
My mobile HOH.
Amen.
And in fact, I do that. I go, the whole 30 minutes is to prepare for my class. You know, coming back, I can use that time to pray. And sometimes I do some other things, you know, phone calls or whatever. Brothers, why am I talking about this?
Prepare.
So don't economize. Make use of your time. Redeem the time. Every day you will have time to prepare, to pray. And that will show in the class, in your speaking, in how much you pray. I didn't say how much you study. I said, firstly, how much you pray for yourself, for the saints, and for the word you pray with the help of this outline and with the help of this material. The most important thing is to pray because prayer makes you one with the Lord and prayer fills you with the Lord, the Spirit. And speaking is mainly a matter of ministering the Spirit. We are the ministers of the Spirit in the New Testament. Am I right? We don't minister doctrines. We just don't minister an outline or points. These are the carriers. That's all. But we actually minister the Spirit. And if you don't pray, you have no Spirit to minister. Well, you say, I pray Wednesday. Will that Spirit still be with me today, 4 days later? Yes, it will, in some mysterious way that I don't understand. There's something, some cumulative effect on being with the Lord. And I tell you, just as one who is helping in this way, you are the first beneficiary. Not the saints. It's you. Number two, besides prayer, okay, this prayer is pray for the church, pray for the word, and pray for yourself. Okay? And the second thing is you must get into the word because it's all in the word. And so you need to have some studying. You need to have some reading. We have all kinds of backup material here for you. You couldn't get into everything. That's okay. You even have a excerpt, right? 4 page? Even that is a good starter. And even if you don't have time for anything, at least those 4 pages. And don't forget the word. That means the Bible, okay? There are references. Now, I know we're not here to give a message. We're not here to give information. But still, you've got to have the word in you. You've got to have the word in you. Then that Logos word will become Rhema word in your speaking. And that Rhema word will enter into the saints to give them life and all the operative, the living and operative word, what the word can do will be there. So, brothers, learn to minister the Spirit into the saints with the help of the outline, with the help of the word. But what you minister is the Spirit by way of the Word. Okay? And have a spirit of learning. Okay, you may want to even practice this before Lord's Day with another brother, your coordinating brother. Practice. Okay, brother, you speak first. You speak these two points, whatever it is. And then I speak those other points, whatever our assignment is. And we even help one another, criticize a little bit. My main help was Sister Lee, right? You know Sister Lee. She's my, you know, Sister Lee, not Brother Lee. So I would go and visit Sister Lee, Brother Lee, and you know, you remember his house, that big garden, the old house on Ball Road. She would come out first, and she would say this to me. There's a group of brothers, he would say. So she was outside. Brother Lee's inside. The brothers go in, and she would talk to me. Minoru, don't make jokes like that again in your message. Don't make jokes like that again. Very seriously. This is Sister Lee. Or that word should be pronounced this way in Chinese. You pronounce it all wrong. How about that for help? I got a lot of help. And not only him, there's some saints, good-hearted saints, would come up to me after the meeting. Brother, you're wrong in that. That information was wrong. Right? I learned. So brothers, don't expect some perfect presentation. You're a learner. How about we're helpers and we're all learners?
Amen.
Isn't that good? Good. That's a good title, huh? Helper and learner.
Amen.
That's our official title. Okay, so prepare yourself. Speak it out, right? I don't mean you need to be polished and, become a master speaker or orator or toaster or whatever it is. No. But with the spirit of learning, you practice. Okay. When it comes time, brothers, to the speaking, it is like prophesying. I would like to ask you to find those six or seven points in that little short book of two chapters called The Practice of Prophesying. Okay, I believe in chapter 2. There, those six, 7 points on prophecy absolutely apply to this kind of speaking. All right? About not being fearful, right? About exercising the spirit, about bringing forth the points, about bringing forth some experience, right? All those things are there. You go take a look. The Practice of Prophesying. And then there's also another book for you to look at, and that is this short book called The Teacher's Training. The Teacher's Training. And there you will get a lot of help to realize, and that's messages to those who will do the Summer School of Truth for young people. But I will tell you, for old people, it's the same. And that is to not pass on just information, like I've been talking about, but pass on God, pass on the Spirit that is conveyed in these matters. And by the way, one more thing I forgot in the speaking. Find the burden. Find the focus. Now, there's a line called the focus, but that's just a line in the paper. Through your prayer and through your preparation, some kind of burden will emerge within you. Speak that burden. That burden is like the soul to your body. A lot of people speak, they just show the body. There's no soul. It's a soulless message. The burden is what gives your speaking the soul. It animates. It enlivens whatever you're speaking. This speaking this morning here in between the meetings, I'm constantly seeking the burden. It's one thing to know the points, this and, but without the burden, it's the body without the soul. So find that burden, and the focus there helps you. But even the focus may be too general. Okay? Now, all these things are things that you have to learn. Okay. Now, in this speaking, it is, you have to be living in your speaking, but you should not be rushed. Some people speak too fast, and the saints couldn't even follow them. You need to speak in a louder voice because you're taking care of people listening. So don't take care of your throat, as Brother Lee said, take care of people's ears. Speak in a little bit in a more deliberate way. Talking is one thing. Speaking is another thing. Talking, you can just go like this. Speaking, you have to be more deliberate. You have to be a little bit slower. You have to enunciate a little bit more so that people can get what you're saying. Some brothers, when they speak, after they speak, I don't know what they talk about. They know what they're talking about, but I don't. But unfortunately, he was talking to me. So the whole thing is a failure. So learn that. Learn that. Now, also, we are not here for utterances, eloquence, flowery speech. We don't care for that. We care for the demonstration of the Spirit. Amen. And of power, right? So learn that way as well. Don't use esoteric words, some kind of academic words, something to show off how much you know, how intellectual you are. Forget about that. They have no place in the ministry of the Lord, okay? All right. And I mentioned already that experience, stories, always have impact. Points of truth are just points of truth. But when you bring up an experience, a story, that gets people's attention. And it helps people understand all the other points because it is applicational. Applicational and not just academic. All right, brothers? It's a lot, actually, not easy. So don't think you can pick this up quickly. But you learn. You learn. You will improve. I hope in the long run, many of the brothers, all the brothers, would become not great speakers, not great ministers, but apt to teach. Amen. Able brothers to minister life and through the word in the church. It's a great thing. Okay. Now, it is good after the lesson to debrief. The brothers who are helping have a time to debrief. Oh, that meeting was too long here. We sang too much. You know what I mean. It is by all those evaluation that you improve in any skill set. In any skill set. That's why, brothers, don't take these things lightly. If you're serious about it, you will learn a lot. I won't call this a trade. You know what I mean? I don't call this a profession. But in similar vein, you have to pick up these skills because it means so much in the church life. Okay. Now, with the remaining time, I'd like to talk about follow-up. Follow-up. So I said that this training really should not be just 40 minutes on Lord's Day and that's it. We should do our best to bring this to what? To follow up with this training using many occasions in the church life, opportunities in the church life. Let me mention a few. You have your own situation, so you have to consider. Number one, for sure, in your shepherding personal shepherding of the saints, this is a good thing to follow up. Because this is what the church is going through. And why do you don't need to invent something else? You can just use this. And in your shepherding of a believer, how are you doing in this? You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
To help them into the practice, to remind them, to shepherd them in this kind of a way. So one-on-one shepherding. There may be some saints who miss a lesson. And that would be a great way for excuse for you to go visit them or have coffee with them to bring them into this. Not to give them another message, but bring the outline to them and bring them into this matter. All right. I actually hope that through this, the leading ones, responsible ones, can really pick up brotherly's charge of visiting all the saints.
Amen.
But not just high and by, but with something like this. To bring to them. Okay. Number two, the home meetings, your home gatherings. Now, I'm not here telling you or insisting that you should change all your home meeting material to this. I'm not saying that. All the home groups are different. But I think that this matter is very, very relevant to our home meetings.
Amen.
Both with new ones and even with older ones. So why not? My goodness, if they have a class on Lord's Day, then have a home meeting in the matter, the next Lord's Day they will come with more longing, right? More desire, more burden, and so forth. So you actually bring the church into a kind of atmosphere of this training. So that is another thing that you can do. If we have three lessons, we have one more weekend, one more Lord's Day open, correct? I would say that is a good day for maybe a cluster or the church to come together for the saints to overflow with their experience. You see? That help again to put a seal on this burden. So by doing this, we're actually using this material, this burden, to build up the saints, to build up the church. If half of the saints in your church would become vital persons, that is not a small thing. It's not a small thing, right? Okay, I will only say this much. We will learn as we go. I believe we're going to gather together again, correct? In 3 weeks? Huh? May 19th, we come together again here. So there's 4 minutes left. Do you have any questions for me? Brother asks a question about how he should repent to people. This is not just the Lord. He's talking about how should he confess his sins to others. And specifically, he was talking about how he should confess his sin to his son. Who is not in the church life. I think that's what he said. It's a good question, brother. Actually, There are times when the Lord's conviction within is so much that it requires us to confess to men for our wrongs and for our transgressions. There are cases like this. So in this matter, I think principle is that we only confess the sin according to the scope of the offense. Do not confess personal sins publicly. It will cause problems and it will cause questions. So if I wrong this brother and the Lord touched me, I need to apologize, whatever. It's just between him and me. So I have to deal with that just personally. I think if the same thing, if it's your son or your father or whoever that person may be, it is the same. It is the same. But even with confession, there are, of course, certain things you need to care for, especially with people. Because sometimes if you confess too much, it actually damages that person and damages you. Or if you confess not enough, it will also cause another kind of problem. So the timing of the confession, the way you confess, all that have to be considered, and not just, you just don't just kind of do it. You have to have some forethought in the matter. Confession, I would say, you must be genuine. You must be sincere, because people can tell. Your confession, I said already, must be commensurate with the scope of your offense or to the degree of your offense. And sometimes even some retribution has to be made. You took something from someone, even the Lord may burden you to make some material retribution, and that's all part. And so I would like to say these lessons on the confession of sins, I think in the experience of life, the book The Experience of Life is a very, very good one. And this should be common among us. This should not be once in 10 years I confess, you know. You know, the Catholic Church, they confess to the priest in that little box. That is absolutely, absolutely wrong. We confess to the Lord. But there are cases the Lord would touch us. We need to confess. And also, we also have to be pure in our confession. Sometime when we make confession, we actually have a motive to expect something. That's impure. We confess, and that's it. How the person will handle it or do whatever, that's between him and the Lord. Amen. It's not your business, right? Amen. So the principle in the Bible is all things must be for building up. Amen. Even in confession, our heart is to build up the other. Okay? I think that's good enough. Amen. All right, brothers. I have great expectations. Amen. Putting the screw on here. But let us all learn together. Amen. I believe the Lord will take us on. Amen. Pray much, please. Amen. Pray much. Yeah. Prayer can make up a lot of defects and shortages. I'm just sitting down here and just remembering Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus. It did not say that he preached or he. Mm-hmm. It says he went house to house, and he did not withhold anything about God's counsel with the people, with tears, with humility. You remember that, brothers? I long for the day that our churches would recover that, and not just by some great apostle, but by many brothers, especially the leading brothers. So this is why I say, don't just trust that Lord's Day morning class to do it. The more important thing is the visitation and the direct contact with the saints with much patience. You don't expect results, this and that, with much patience. You do it for 3 years and see what happens. To help them, to minister to them, be patient with them. The saints will know that you have a real burden. And that is solid work. Just to have a class is needful, but that's not the most solid. So the follow-up, the follow-through, is of utmost importance.
Amen.
Right? You know, swimming, I swim, right? I think I said that.
Yeah.
You do this. This is the most important.
Yes.
Most people think this is more important. No. This. This part is the most important. And that's the most tiring part. So that's follow-up.
Amen.
Then you move forward. Okay, I think we can be dismissed, huh?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.